We are here with Von Dillman today, Mount Shasta Brewing Company. We're going to follow up on what has happened with their brewery in regards to their bottle cap situation, which said, try legal weed. Von, why don't you tell us where we left off at with the bottle cap situation? We know last spring you guys got in trouble for having this bottle cap. What's happened since then?
Well, good morning to you, Daniel, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys this morning. In regards to our bottle caps, we really didn't get in trouble legally. We just got in trouble by the TTB. Their acronym has changed from the ATF. It is the federal regulated group that governs our labels and its contents, and for I would say 4.5 to 5 years, we were actually using our bottle caps, as you know. The California State Department of Alcoholic Beverage allowed us to use our caps, as well as our labels, and then when we submitted for a new label called the Lemurian Lager, another name after our community, and Lemurians are little are creatures or people that live inside the mountain, and it was like the lost continent of Atlantis. They lost their continent about 17,000 years ago, and they regrouped and actually live inside the mountain. There's actually a religion that worships that group of people, as well as 13 other religions. There's 14 religions that worship that mountain, so it must have some type of special entity. And my point is that all of our beers are geographically related or named to individuals or groups, such as the Rastafarians. We call our beer our Board of the Shastafarians. We have the Lemurian Lager, which represents the Lemurian group. We have Abner Weed, pictured on a beer, our Weed Arch, and so on and so forth. We call one of our beers the IPA Mountain High because we live on the 3,500-foot elevation of the side of the mountain. All of our labels and beers have a reference to our community. They're not just made up out of the blue like most breweries. The ATF and the TTB decided one day that when we submitted our label for the Lemurian, that they didn't like our bottle caps. And the guy called back from Washington, D.C., and he said, oh, we decided, my peers and I decided that you can't use your caps anymore. And I said, well, what law did I violate? And they said, well, we just don't like the way it sounds. We don't like the word legal. And Dan, I looked at my wife and I said, what are we supposed to do, change the word legal? Because the TTB said that it meant otherwise. And I said, if you open the dictionary, legal means acceptable. And it doesn't mean otherwise. So with that is when they sent us a letter saying that responsible is a clause in one of their rules. And it's the number 94-2, and I believe it was made in 1994. And I think 2 represents February. So it reads in part, responsible industry members should not want to portray their products in any socially unacceptable manner. And I felt really humiliated with that, for one, because socially unacceptable, I didn't appoint anybody, my guardian, to be my socially correct person. I found that really hard to swallow. I just socially unacceptable, what does that mean?
Right, it's a good question.
The other thing that bothered me, too, is that when the fellow pretty much dictated the way it was going to be or else, I said, what law did I violate? And he really couldn't give me a law. Responsible members should, you know, I am responsible. I am socially acceptable. I was an Oakland police officer. I was police officer of the year in Oakland. I was a citizen of the year in our community of Weed. My wife is a superintendent of schools for many years. My daughter's a fourth grade public school teacher in Sacramento. My son is a paramedic fireman in Fremont. Why do I mention all of that? I said, we are the salt of the Americas. We are a normal, average family trying to make a living. And we make microbrew beer, and we enjoy our job. The guy, my wife says, well, how can, the guy's name is Kent Martin, two first names. And my wife said to him, well, how can we resolve this, Kent? He said, well, I don't go by my first name. And he left my wife hanging there, and with my secretary on the line. And she said, well, what should I call you? He says, well, I go by my middle name. And he left her hanging again. And she said, well, what's your middle name? And instead of saying it, Dan, he spelled it B-A-T-T-L-E. battle.
Wow.
And I wrote the ATF on my appeal, and I said, you know, here's a man that wants to be addressed publicly as a professional by his middle name, and in another text in a dictionary, it depicts violence and aggression and anger and challenge. I said, that's demeaning to my wife and my business. I'm going to call and address somebody by the name of Battle. And technically, I guess, I've never seen any records on it, but I guess it is his name. Because many times over the letter writings back and forth, he turned around and cited Battle Martin. And when I addressed my appeal, all of a sudden I started getting letters. The last letter before I won this thing, it says that they wanted another 90 days in order to challenge it. And they went through about a third of that before, I don't know what caused the pressure, or they're just saying that, you know, after reading the entire text, they finally agreed that I'm not trying to promote illegal drugs with my product, nor am I trying to sway the... That's another weird one. I don't know if you want to hear all this stuff, but it is really weird. That one of the other clauses they said is that a guy by the name of Al Resnick from the Washington TTV, and there's been about five or six people that I've dealt with over at this group, and I hope I don't get in trouble with them. I know they have a job to do, but it all of a sudden it almost seemed to become a game of, you know, you're going to do it our way or the highway. And I understand law. I've been involved in it. That's what my degrees are in. And I don't understand the logic of push, push, push. It's almost like a big brother syndrome. And they came across and said, this Al Resnick said, how did he phrase that? Something to the effect that we're confusing the public as to what the contents of our beer bottle is. And I says, what do you mean? And he said, well, the weed thing. And I said, no. I said, when Newport, that's owned, Rogue Ales in Newport, Oregon, that's owned by, I believe it's Nike, came out with a beer called Dead Guy Ale, and they had a picture of a skeleton sitting on the top of a keg. And I said, when you pop a cap of Rogue Dead Guy Ale, do you expect to get a cadaver part out of it? And I said, how about Moose Drool, you know, out of Montana, they're brown ale. And I said, you open that cap and you get a long, slimy, wet one.
Right, good point.
Where does that terminology end?
Right.
Go ahead.
So you guys are free and clear to use the caps now, though.
Well, they sent us a letter saying that no further action will be required other than they want us to resubmit our label over again. And they already passed our label, Liberian label. So I don't know. I'm still trying to get clarification as to exactly what they want. But they want us to resubmit, but they said that they now accept the fact that it's our community's name and we're not trying to promote illegal drugs. It's really a strange... Do you realize that this bottle cap went all the way around the world?
I do. That's...
I got articles and papers from Scotland. I was on the front page of the Paris, France newspaper, the International Herald Tribune, Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, all over the place, all over a bottle cap. I've made every major newspaper. I've been interviewed by countless people. I've been on Fox TV News, national CBS radio. You know, they had me on every hour on the hour for 24 hours one day. AARP, I'm 61, you know. I have their insurance, and all of a sudden I get a call from Tampa, Florida, the headquarters of the AARP, and they send out a camera crew to L.A., and first of all, they send somebody to L.A. and hire a camera crew in L.A., and they flew up to Reading, and then from Reading they drove up to here. They spent 9 hours from 9 o'clock to about, I'd say 5 o'clock in the afternoon, taking pictures here one day. They took over 751 pictures, I think, was their total for one picture in the AARP. That's how important our business is, you know? That's how important our bottle cap is, I guess.
Definitely.
That's what our federal tax dollar is spending their money on, is bottle caps.
So, seeing as you guys got tons of press, did you guys get tons of sales in return?
Yes, we have. What was bad about it, Dan, is that we have had a couple of major grocery stores discontinue our product during this intro because they didn't want any controversy. And I told them, I said, we violated no law. I said, our town is named after Abner Wheat. the bottle cap reads try legal weed on the perimeter. Like if you look at a clock from 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock and from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock, it says a friend in weed is a friend indeed. Try legal weed. And that caption, that little saying, my wife and I and one other person wrote the vision statement for our city of weed back in the early 80s, mid-80s, I'd say. And in there, it alluded to the fact that we're a mountain community. We have the freshest of air. We have the purest of water. We have a real strong work ethic here, good communities, good schools. And when you guys come to our community and visit us and look around, you'll find that you become our friends indeed. And then try legal weed. We're not trying to promote anything illegal. We're trying to promote our community. And our town, our county, our district attorneys, our city mayors, our city attorneys, I've had so many accolades. I have not had one negative comment on my issue, except from the federal government. So go figure. I mean, where is the support here?
Tell me about it.
This morning I got 11 of them. It's still going on. It doesn't quit. Everybody's supporting us.
So now that you're known worldwide, has there been a demand for you to expand so that people can, you know, start distributing your beer?
If you know any other brewers that would like to help us out, I certainly could use some more help. We're inundated. We have a 15-barrel system, and I have a 30-barrel system. The 30-barrel system isn't finished yet because we don't have the money to finish it. It's basically the bottom line. We're a mom-and-pop business. It's just like you and yours. You know, you work your butt off, and you turn around, and you have enough money to pay your mortgage and your car payment and maybe a couple other bills, and then if you have $10 left in your wallet, you could take your wife to the show.
Right.
So bottom line is that we're trying like hell to keep growing, but it's all money, and it's all trying to make it work. And the thing is that my wife and I are both retired, and we have some great help here, some great brewers and office staff and part-time people, and everybody enjoys their job. It's a job that's fun, it's interesting, it's creative, it's artistic. And bottom line is we make some great beer, but better yet, we have a bottle cap now that I call the bottle cap bird around the world. And I think I'm going to write a song. I don't know how old you are, but there was an old song saying, I fought the law and the law won. I fought the law and law won. But,
well, I know that from The Clash. I don't know if there was somebody who sang it before that, but yes, I know the song.
Okay, there you go. But the thing was that I changed the words around and I said, weed being the town, weed fought the law and weed won. So that seems to be the consensus of opinion. I just hope like heck that I don't get in any more problems over my bottle cap or anything else that I'm developing. Like I say, I just started this business so my wife and I could have something to do as we retired and provide jobs for people like yourselves that want to come into the community and have a nice environment and raise your kids in a nice area and have some. We're a destination resort. We're running the top of the hill. Any water that goes to the south of Mount Shasta goes to California. Any water that goes to the north of Mount Shasta goes to Oregon. So you talk about a split of longitude, latitude, and the water is the purest there is. We don't chlorinate. There's no fluorides. It's just pure spring water. So I hope I answered your questions. I don't know what else I can tell you. I've been talking to you. I would answer you. Ask me your questions.
Well, I was going to ask you a question that now would seem very uncomfortable to ask you, based on you telling me you're a retired cop and your daughter's a school teacher. I was going to ask you if you smoked, but I obviously, I can tell you don't. What is your view on people in California who enjoy smoking?
You know, I have looked at that so many different times over the years. My job was to enforce the law, and it says that marijuana was illegal. At that time, and since then, there's so many people that have their own walks of life and their own ways of life. What you do in your own home is strictly your business. It's not for me to say. It's not for me to choose. It's a lifestyle, and it's their prerogative. What they want to put into their body is their own doing. So you can die from alcohol. You can die from cigarette tobacco. You can die from a car crash. You can die from all kinds of things. I'm not advocating the use of any type of illegal drugs. All I'm saying is that, coincidentally enough, our town's name is named after a United States senator called Abner Weed, And somehow along the line, I know the story where it came from. I don't know if you'd be interested in that, but somebody developed the word weed as a sarcasm for Americana cannabis. And they decided that they're going to make that a nickname. And remember I told you, I said, I haven't had one negative email out of over 1,250 letters, phone calls, emails, and so on. One guy started out, he says, I'm totally in favor of the federal government. I think you should change your town of Weed's name, and I think you should change your bottle caps and stuff. And he says, may I suggest to the TTB that you change your name from Weed to Grass? So how many words are going to be eliminated from today's dictionary? The city attorney for Weed, his name is Bob Winston. The way I caught his ear is that I said, hey, Mr. Winston, I said, you have a name of controversy. And he looked at me and I said, I think you should take your name off the front of your building because Winston is a cigarette, and isn't that supposed to be, cigarettes aren't they supposed to be cancerous to your health? I said, what happened if the TTP came along and said that you can no longer put your name on the side of the building because it's advocating tobacco, which kills people? And he just raised his eyebrow, you know, and then he wrote a letter for us. He wrote, not for us, for the city of Weed. And I guess it was for us. He wrote the TTB and said he, as the city attorney, really was objecting to the TTB, making the insinuation that the name is synonymous with Americanus cannabis, or weed, if you will. And he says that it's named after a California state senator, and the city of Weed doesn't grow any vegetation, legal or otherwise. And he said the dictionaries of today, is what he said, the dictionaries of today do not keep up with all the slang words that comes from society on a daily basis. It's
right.
Impossible for them to do that. So that was that part. And the name Weed came from, believe it or not, the federal FBI. The guy before J. Edgar Hoover came out, his name was Henry Balsinger. And he, back in the 20s, they were, the Southwest states were trying to classify marijuana is illegal because as I was told on the History Channel, I saw the article twice, so both in October and even last April, and it said that the Mexicans were bringing marijuana into the United States and doing working jobs and using that as their relaxant, and Balsinger didn't want to file a law federally stating that it was illegal. If the southern states wanted to eliminate it, they could have their own law on it, but he didn't want to take the time of the federal government to do that. He got a lot of pressure on it, and finally he caved in between 1930 and 1934, I guess is how long it took to go through the courts. But he was driving, remember Washington when he was crossing in the rowboat across the Delaware chasing the Britons?
Right.
Back in the 17th century, well, Balsinger was crossing the Potomac River in his van with a couple of legislators, and he looked at it, he says, I can't believe I'm going to have to do this. And the guy said, what? And he says, you see over on that hill over there as he's crossing the river? He said, does that mean we're going to have to cut down all those weeds over there? And he was pointing to a bunch of marijuana growing on the side of the bank. And that's how the word became synonymous with Americana cannabis.
Good to know.
Isn't
well,
that strange?
That's
hey,
makes
like
sense to
you guys.
Me.
If you get a chance, Arcadia, it's Arcadia, that's where you're from?
Yes.
I'd be more than happy to buy you a cold one if you ever get over this way, because I'd like to shoot the breeze with you more and meet you, because that's what life's all about, is meeting people and enjoying each other's company.
You got that right. Well, I'll tell you, I'd like to wrap it up with one last question.
Sure.
Should we expect to see Mount Shasta at any beer festivals coming up?
Yeah, we're all over the place. We're in Bend, Oregon this week. There's a real good-sized brewery over there. Beer contest there. There's one down in Sacramento, which is the cream of the crop. It's put on by, of all people, I believe he's the head of the California State Legislature. His name is Carl Levine, and it's actually put on by the Rotary of Sacramento, but he's the president of the Rotary. And they're talking 6,000 people this year. It's right on the I-5 border in Sacramento. It's an exit called the Green Highway. The Garden Highway. And it's right alongside the Sacramento River. It's a beautiful setting. Last year they had 45 entries. And we took first place with our Shastafarian Porter. We beat Deschutes Black Butte Porter. They came in second. And we had a wonderful time with them. I mean, you talk about camaraderie and microbrewery friendships. Those guys befriended us like you couldn't believe. They came by the following Monday and just we shot the breeze and had a great time. So to answer your question, we're in Boonville. We're all over the place, and we're sending out people that know our product. A lot of times you get people that go out and solicit, and they really don't know the product. But as you can tell by the tone of my voice, we have a lot of pride in our product, not only the names and the quality of the beers, but we have fun doing it.
You have to. There's no other way to do it, in my opinion.
Hey, thanks. How many people do you guys cover?
We cover people nationwide. We really haven't gone over to Europe, but pretty much anybody who loves craft beer is tuning into our site.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, don't be a stranger. Our doors are open. We have we do bratwurst and hot dogs and Polish sausage. We're getting custom-made chicken made by some of our community members. And you know, when you come into our town at both ends, there's a big freeway sign at both ends that said, weed next three exits. I guess Caltrans is enjoying our name too, because it doesn't say the city of weed, it just says weed next three exits, so you can take that wherever you want to go with it.
Excellent. Well, thank you for your time, Vaughn, and
it's a real pleasure talking with you.
Our readers are going to enjoy this, so thank you very much.
Is there any chance I can get a copy of this?
Not a problem.
I sure appreciate it.